This is a Pinball News production.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Collector Crusades. And Phoebe and I, there's, I don't know how you say this. You seem to find more better games than I do. I think it's the looks, to tell you the truth. So we'll talk about our good friend, Python. So, Phoebe, you got to meet Python a few times. Did you get over to his place?
No.
No? Not yet?
No.
Is he here?
Not yet.
Oh, he's not here yet. Okay. Knowing Python, he'll show up 10 minutes before we're done. Okay, so we're going to talk about Phoebe's barn. Every time I call Phoebe and talk to her, I say, okay, Phoebe, you know, I get the answer machine. Oh, Dave, I'm down in the barn. And I'm like, the barn? She says, yeah, I got all these games in the barn. And I said, was Larry with you? She goes, no. Okay, so you guys weren't fooling around in the hayloft, but you have how many games in the barn? Well, we have a lot. So, you want to talk a little bit about these?
Yeah, this is just my storage. There's probably 15, 20 games that are waiting their turn to be restored, and a whole bunch of playfields that I don't know when I'll ever get to, but they're there.
So this is your full-time job, basically. All right, so we got a lot of games here. Can anybody tell me some of these games? Just shouting out, just get an idea. Space Shuttle, okay. How about the one with the bird down in the front lower right? Phoenix, yeah, that's right. Okay. When I do research for games, or when I get pictures from people, it's usually so blurry and so out of focus. You're like looking at a little bit of the game, and you're like, what game is it? And they don't remember the name. Oh, it's a Williams. Oh, it's a Gottlieb game. Okay, what's the name on it? Oh, Gottlieb. That works out. So what are you pointing to here?
That is, and that's actually one of the games that I was going to talk about. And I don't know how rare it is, but for me, I searched for this game for 2 years. I restored one for some Aussie friends, and I couldn't talk him out of it, but I fell in love with the game when I was working on it, and I had done some research about it, and it's a Norm Clark game, and it's actually, I call it my birthday game. It's the Williams 1966 8-Ball, and the colors on it are really cool, and on the back glass it has two guys playing pool, and on the cufflinks it has SK and NC. And I searched for it for 2 years, and I couldn't find one. And a friend that lives in Michigan, I think he's here, Jim Kaczynski, called me and said that there was one on Craigslist that was about 45 minutes away from him. And he volunteered to go scope it out for me and pick it up and save it for me until March. This was like in November or December. And keep it for me until March and bring it to the Ohio show for me. So it pays to have friends all over.
She has a network, a very nice network. And just a point of reference, what are the two cufflinks or the names on the sleeves we point to? Yeah.
Norm Clark and Steve Cornett.
You got it. Exactly right.
This game, when he went and picked it up, it was actually in a smokehouse. And it actually still, when you get the game down and open it up, it still smells like bacon.
Mmm, delicious.
This is, all those boxes are parts. Spare parts that have come off of that stack of playfields that you saw. They were already partially stripped, but that's just the other stuff that I took off of them because it's too hard to store them with all the stuff on them, so...
This isn't an addiction, by the way. Once you start, you just cannot stop. All right, here's my hoard of games real quick. We have...
This is David's barn.
Yeah, my barn. You can't see them all in there, but there is 20-some-odd pins in that little area.
See, then, firepower.
Yeah, there's a firepower. There's a Big Shot Williams. I picked that up for $50. Off of Craigslist, was in somebody's basement. Hey, a $50 game. You're not going to pass it up, right? Sure. It was all there. Backlash was still intact. So off it goes.
Is that a scuba?
Which one? Yes, that is a scuba on the top. That also was a game that was given to me from somebody in the famous island, Martha's Vineyard. It was sitting out there, and the guy says, it doesn't work. Take it. Okay? Next thing I know, a buddy of mine put it in his truck, and it was in Buffalo. So that was good. Here's a few more games that I've just happened across. There is a hayloft in mine, but no, she's not up there. Okay. But you can see there's a pin bot there, there's an eight ball, there's a paragon, there's an X's and O's, there's a black knight, there's another about five or six games back in there. You know, the one problem with this seminar is my wife is here, so she now is counting all the games that are in the garage. It's more of like a scavenger hunt, because every time she goes out there, she goes, I don't remember this game. When did this one come here?
Oh, it's been here for a long time, honey, I promise.
You heard that line before. All right, now let's talk about how we find games. Phoebe has the very easy ability of good looks. She just walks in and goes, I'd like to buy this game. And any operator goes, you got a deal. What am I going to pay? You want to pay me something? Just take it out of here. Leave, please. My operations, I have to go through operators, antique dealers, shippers, moving companies, estate sale agents, and lot buyers. Has anybody ever dealt with any of these individuals? Okay, I see a lot of head nodding. And a lot of these games, especially estate sale agents and moving companies, they don't know what they have, and you walk away with some nice games sometimes. But you try to be honest with them, too. Phoebe's Crusades. You want to talk about these?
Yeah. You don't have them in the right order, by the way.
Well, where can I have... Oh, I see. I don't have them in the order of your notes. I'm sorry. Well, just jump around. It's fine.
Once upon a time.
Yes.
In a land far, far away.
Far, far no. away.
When we were new to this pinball bug thing, my quest was to have one pinball machine from every year in the 80s. That was my first quest. My quest began, but I actually never thought that I'd be able to finish it because there's some of them that are really, really rare, and I didn't think I'd ever find them. The first one that I lucked into was Cosmic Gunfight, and I had been talking with a friend, and he was actually going to help load a container at another friend's warehouse. And, you know, just said, you know, something about, well, when you uncover the Cosmic Gunfight, let me know. So I get a call after he gets up here, and he goes, you're not going to believe what I'm looking at. So needless to say, it was a Cosmic Gunfight. And then the tough part began was talking the owner of the warehouse out of it. But I managed. And then another game that I have is William Starlight. There was only 100 of them made, and I never thought I'd find one. It's funny how it works out sometimes when you're looking for a game and you're looking for a game and you can't find it, and then you find one, and then you can't quit finding them.
You just kind of roll through the door. Keep rolling through.
Yeah. So the first Starlight I had, it was an unexpected find while touring the same friend where I found the Cosmic Gunfight. I was touring his warehouse, and on first glance, I thought it was a Williams Laser Cue because of the colors on the cabinet, and the cabinet artwork is really pretty similar. They just changed the colors around on the lines. But then on closer examination, I was like, oh, wow, that's a Starlight. Okay, we got to talk. So I got that one. And then the second one was a total surprise. A fellow Carp brother, I don't think he's here. I don't think he made it. I think his flight got canceled. But he called me. He lives in Indiana. And he was like, yeah, I know you like all these old Williams games. And he says, there's a Williams Starlight on Craigslist in Indianapolis. So I looked it up and called and talked to the guy. I asked him, I was like, you know, I got a 2.5-hour drive to get there. Don't sell it out from under me. I'm on my way. I promise I'll be there. The whole time we're driving up there, my husband's telling me, you know, we're going to get there and it's going to be gone. Somebody's going to get there and they're going to offer him more money and they're going to be loading it up as we pull in. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's usually how it works. But anyway, we got there.
You mean like a Clay Herald or somebody else who might be a big collector?
But anyway, we get there, and the guy was true to his word. He said that, you know, he had told everybody else that somebody, it was gone. And the guy, he was really very nice, and it turned out when I got there that he was totally blind. But he actually liked to play pinball, and he played a game with me on it before we tore it down and loaded it up and took it home. And he told me what history he knew about it, about where it came from when he bought it. And, you know, it was really kind of a unique thing.
Okay, we're gonna give away some prizes. We always do this to keep everybody fresh. This is going to be a sample. I'm just going to throw it out there in case somebody actually does know what this is. This is side art. Now, the idea of this presentation is we always see side art of a game sitting off a corner of somebody's, you know, picture, and you're like, oh, what's that game? Well, in this case, here's a side art of the whole side of the cabinet. It's a very tough game from the 80s, very rare. Phoebe has one.
90 were made.
90 of them were made? Okay, I'll give it to you. It's Varcon. It's a stand-up pinball. It's actually here at Expo. It's in the corner, correct? Mm-hmm. And it's a very fun game to play. So.
No, but seriously, can you name the ones that were behind Varcon in the first picture?
Oh, you mean, let me see. That looks like Elgar? Or no, Scorpion.
Yeah, Scorpion, Time Fantasy.
Scorpion and Time Fantasy.
I can't tell which ones are between them, but yeah.
Yeah. And that was shot, actually, this picture is from somewhere in, I believe, France, at a French show.
When I first saw it, I thought it was his show in Niagara Falls, because that was like the lineup that I took to his show.
Yeah, and then I said, no, it was somebody else's, but I do remember that lineup. So, we're going to talk a little bit more about your big screen television. You going to give that away here today?
Yeah. This is pretty much the only piece of furniture left in my living room.
Phoebe, you know, as some of you might have heard that I have announced or named Phoebe the Wife of the Year Award of Pin People, because she convinced, well, she didn't have to convince very hard. She told her husband, I don't want to have the hutch and the dining room set up anymore. And I don't need
the couch. It's wasted space. You only use it, what, once, twice a year?
So they took out the living room set and the dining room set and put in, what do you got now, 110 pinball machines? No.
45.
In
but
our house.
We put the furniture in storage.
So we also see here, and there's also a very interesting Time Fantasy sitting over in this corner. That's another little rare piece.
Yeah. That one's out there too.
Yeah.
That's actually the surround sound from the big screen. Yeah, anybody looking to buy a big screen? I could fit three more pinball machines in there if I get rid of that big screen. And actually, I want to get a flat screen and hang it on the fireplace. Doesn't take up any space.
Here's two rare double level games. Pharaoh, a little bit more prevalent, and then of course Solar Fire, which is a lot more rarer. You've had a couple of these Solar Fires, if I'm not mistaken. If we go back, we could see one in the garage, the barn still, and you've also sold two others? Is that right? No, you had three, I thought.
No, I've restored them.
Oh, you restored them? Oh, no,
I've only had two.
She gets the joy of restoring them for a year and having them to play with for a year and then giving them back to their owners.
And the Pharaoh Seamus is going to be here, right?
Yes, Seamus McLaughlin is supposed to be here on Saturday. Anybody guess the front panel of this game? We're going to give away a prize.
Defender.
Very good. Come on up. We have a couple translites. We also have we also have a glare guard, depending on what you want. And we'd like to thank our dear friend with Wrong Crowd for giving us the glare guard. Okay, we'll move on. That's my game. I'll tell you a little history about this. I got a call from a shipper, shipping company. And he called me up and he says, Dave, I have a pin. It got damaged in shipment. And he says, the insurance paid it out, the machine's sitting here, and I got to recoup something. He says, can you buy it? And I'm like, it's broken. Well, what do you mean? And I didn't know the title. And I said, you know, broken games, depending on what year it is, maybe about 300 would go as high. And he says, all right, 300. Come out to the warehouse, you can pick it up. I went out, there was Defender sitting on a pallet. The playfield glass had blown out. That's all. And also the bottom of the cabinet had gotten cracked a little bit. Repaired the bottom of the cabinet, put a new playfield glass in it. I have a nice Defender for $300.
You got yours easier than I got mine.
Yeah, well, it's connections.
I had to drive 12 hours one way to get mine.
Yes, but they got the privilege of seeing you there, so, you know. All right, shippers, movers, this is the deal, the insurance claim broken. Okay, we're back with your beautiful horde of games. You have a comment.
This was actually when I was going to talk about Barcom, but we already talked about it.
Well, okay.
That's my living room.
Well, how did you
find... The flat screen goes on the fireplace.
How did you find Barcom?
There was only 90 made, and I was actually talking to a guy, a friend, that I restored a couple games for. He's in Virginia, in the Washington, D.C. area. And he was like, so what are you looking for? And I was like, well, I said, there's a couple that I'm looking for, but, you know, I'm not going to hold my breath or anything. And I mentioned Varcon, and he goes, really? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, huh, that's weird. And I was like, why? And he goes, I have a friend who has two, and he's looking to get rid of one. I was like, okay, road trip to Washington, D.C. And off we went.
And it's a nice plane, Varcon. You've done some resto on that.
Yeah,
now,
so. It had a little bit of water damage at the bottom, so the whole cabinet got the bottom of the cabinet got lots of Bondo. And
you did this, or your loving husband in the back, Larry, did this?
No, that's all him. I painted it after he fixed it.
Thank you, Larry. Want to talk about for a follow?
Okay.
Now, you remember I said that sometimes other collectors get in front of you and pick up a game? Well, in this case, Phoebe got in front of another collector and picked up Farfalla. Go ahead.
Sorry, Clay. The Farfalla. I had only seen a couple of them, and they were all going for, like, way more than I could afford. But, I mean, seriously, on RGP, I'm Butterfly Girl. The game has butterflies all over it. I had to have one. So I had been looking for a long time, and a friend actually came across one. And actually, that's the second one that he came across. And the lady wanted him to fix it, and he said that he really didn't work on them because the last one he had, he ended up selling to me because the parts are too hard to find and it's too hard to get them working. And so he said, but I know somebody who wants one. And so then I talked to her, and I was going to get it, and turns out that she said that there was the guy in Michigan that offered me this much money, and he said he'd come and get it, and he didn't want to see it parted out. I was like, well, it's not going to get parted out. No, I won't part out. I wouldn't part it out. But anyway.
Anyway, the collector in Detroit offered her $100 more, but Phoebe, with her charismatic and good charm,
we split the difference.
Oh, you split the difference. But yeah. Still walked away with the game and the collector.
Anyway, the game, mine have the European back glass, and there is an American version back glass that doesn't show any nipples. And like I said, I've been wanting the game for a long time because it had butterflies all over it, and I was to the point where I really didn't care which version I got. I just wanted one. But Hubby, and I don't know if KT's here or not, but in the Spooky Pinball podcast, she was talking about the compromise thing. And so it was a compromise deal. He said if I was getting the game, it had to have the European back glass. So we got the game. It's got the European back glass. We're both happy.
So there you go. All right, how about this game? Not the green one, the one standing up. This is actually in a collector's hoard that I was in. It's a little bit harder game. What's that? Yes. Come on up. Joust. It is Joust. I saw this game, I was like, what game is that? And I literally had him pull it out because I had never seen that side art before. So then I could finally find out what the game was. There's also glare guards if you want them. Okay, now let's talk about a big deal. What is this now? You traded.
These are my two newest additions. Notice the top are on the medieval with the evil glowing eyes. I've said many times that if I had, mostly my collection is the early Williams solid states. My newest pin up until February of this year was the 1990 Whirlwind. And then just, I said that if I ever had a Stern, a newer Stern, it would be a Spider-Man. But they were going for a lot more than my budget would allow. And turned out that a friend had one and the Medieval Madness, and he was interested in getting some of the classics into his collection because he had all DMDs. So we made kind of a deal that we traded four for one, but it was technically, it was four for two for 2 months. We got the Spider-Man, but he wanted the Medieval to come to Expo so everybody could play it. And so we picked it up at the same time, but we get to keep it for a couple months and play it ourselves. But I got the Spider-Man and the Medieval, and he got Firepower, Jungle Lord, Blackout, and Scorpion.
Not a bad deal for two pins to four.
His were all fully restored.
Want to talk about Space Mission?
Yeah, these are my two, the two EMs that are done. Like my 1966 8 ball is not done yet. But the Space Mission is a Steve Kordak game, and I wanted to have one EM from the Godfathers of Pinball. And to me, the Godfathers of Pinball is Steve Kordak, Wayne Nyans, and Norm Clark. And so it took me a while to find them, but I got them. And those are my three Godfather pins.
Lot buyers, antique dealers. Okay. I deal with a couple guys that, out of curiosity, just call me up out of the blue and say, I got a pinball. I bought an entire house. Because what they do is they go in after antique dealers or after estate agents, and they buy the lot for, like, say, $300, $400. They buy everything else that's in the house, and they take it out. Well, in that buy, he bought a Harvest Moon and an Old King Cole. Now, these are rare 1940s and 50s Gottlieb EMs, and including, I think both were... Wayne, did you do Old King Cole? Did you design Old King Cole? No? But Harvest Moon? No? Okay. I got it goofed. Sorry. Well, I'm sure you would. But anyway, I picked these up for $300 apiece, and I flipped these for about $9 to $1,000 apiece, and I didn't do anything to them. There were hot collectors that just wanted them, and I just made some deals and opened up the cash flow. This same lot buyer contacted me 3 weeks ago out of the blue, and he says, I bought a game for you. You're going to have to pay $400. And I said, well, I'm working overtime. I'll catch you next week. Well, all of a sudden, my email blows up the next day that a local collector missed the deal of the century because a funhouse went on Craigslist for $400, and he missed it. Well, it just so happens the lot buyer was at the location, and the guy says, oh, it's a funhouse. The building was to be torn down, so he was buying everything that was left in it, and the lot buyer said, I'll pay you $300 for it. He threw it on Craigslist. He had no internet connection, and before the lot buyer actually left the building, the guy says, I don't want to come back to this building. Give me $300, and the game is yours. And so the lot buyer calls me up, and he goes, Dave, I got this game for $400. And I said, okay, what is it? And then I finally remembered a week later that he called me. And sure enough, it was a funhouse. All in stored, completely there. Rudy was there, everything. But however, my wife does not like funhouse. So I had the dilemma of the lifetime. But I made a friend of mine very happy because I said, you give me $400, I'll help you restore it, and you put it in your place. Ding! He did it. And now he's got a nice funhouse, which we're already going through and cleaning. It was still locked by the operator. There was no money in the cash box. But there was a little corrosion on the board, but after cleaning the board, the game fired right up. So I'm kind of happy about a funhouse for $400. But my friend gets it now because my wife doesn't care for Rudy.
See, good looks do count for something.
And here's the play field as it cleaned up. There was no play field where original day one Mylar, all the plastic, there was even replacement plastics in the manual, everything in the box still. So I was like, wow, this is a nice little buy for $400.
Can't do Rudy.
Yeah, I know you can't do Rudy. Neither can my wife. She thinks it's Chucky's little brother.
Yeah.
Little creepy guy. All right, guess this game.
Pineapple.
Yes, correct. Come on up. You can grab a translate, a glare guard. Finding treasures. Now, Jay Stafford's going to get these pictures after this presentation. In my searches and my roams in the area, I end up running across games that were either white-wooded or never made or just some very interesting pieces of history. These pictures have not been on IDP. There are no pictures for this game on IDP. Well, except the back glass. Can anybody just out of random give me a ballpark idea what this game could be? Huh? Nope. It's a 1996 game, or 95.
Aces?
No. Okay. Let's give it to you. It's Duel Pool by Elvin G. Claimed that by a lot of designers that the play field was never put together, was never got off the productions for it. But actually, there was a flipping whitewood. And this is the whitewood that I found. It had side art. You start looking through some old collector stuff, you're going to find some games that you've never seen before. So, sorry for the bad pictures.
I actually found those back glasses that I got off of eBay.
Okay.
A couple of years ago.
Duel Pool?
No.
Oh.
They were Williams games.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was two games that were apparently, the first one was called Sentinel. It was supposed to be Jungle Lord. I found out doing research, Larry DeMar, and I forget who he hooked me up with somebody else, and I can't remember who it was, but it was actually supposed to be Jungle Lord. Jungle Lord was supposed to be called Sentinel, but when it came down to it, they said that the artwork looked too much like Gorgar, and so they had to change the artwork, and it became Jungle Lord. The other one is called Williams Lanes.
That's a rare piece, too.
It's not even...
It's never been, yeah.
No.
But Mike Stroll had it commissioned or something like that, wasn't it?
We haven't ever found anything out about that. The only thing that the guys from Williams can tell me is that it must have been like a spoof that, you know, they made the game, and it's like a bowling alley theme, the back glass, and it says Williams Lanes at the top, and it's like the Williams employees, and they're all at the bowling alley bowling and partying and drinking. But yeah, I never have, you know, gotten down to it. I have some, that Mike Stroll, that was who it was. I have a couple emails from him where he kind of had some explanations of what it could be, but he didn't remember exactly.
Did you ever buy that backlash from Seamus Space Circus?
No, I never got it.
But there's a backlash floating around, and maybe we'll get Seamus to explain a little bit more. It was a game that was being designed by Steve Kordick, and Seamus was doing the artwork, and it was called Space Circus, and it came out around just before Black Knight.
79, 80.
Okay, we're also going to talk about some lost games. Can we dim the lights just real quick?
Yeah.
Because this one, I'd like to see the picture. This is a... let me grab it. I'll grab it. But anyway, can anybody tell me what you think this game is real quick? There you go. There's a long story behind this game. You can tell it's a bally, but anybody want to take a guess? No? The game is owned by Mike Pasek, and hopefully one of these expos, I'll get him to drag it here so we can look at it. But the game is called Jolly Rogers. Jolly Rogers was designed by... I'm going to say his name wrong, but it's...
Brightlight.
Wally Welch. Thank you. Thank you, Gary. Wally Welch designed Jolly Roger and then took the design to Elvin G., which then became Mystery Castle. So this game is basically Mystery Castle, but with the pirate theme, where you collect the things, collect the keys, and whatnot.
Rethemed.
All right. Before we get to that, I'm going to show something. Now, I brought this. We're going to give this away today. I have here a 2008 plaque.
Here, give me a mic.
2008 plaque from Classic Playfield Reproductions. And we're going to give this away as the next guest on the game. And this will be perfect because Steve Ritchie will be here tomorrow night. And I think this might look nice. He probably will sign it for you. Be nice to be put up in your game room. And Classic Playfield's donated this nice sample piece. And it's got the plaque date of 2008 when we ran the Black Knight backland playfields. So, anybody tell me what this game is? I'm going to give you a clue. It's a Gottlieb. And no, you can't say it, Phoebe. Huh? You got it, Sam. It is Kroll. You know, if you found this game somewhere floating, you definitely would want to buy it because it's been selling for about $10,000 to $11,000. I know a couple collectors that have been in auctions up to about $10,000 or more for this. Come on up, Sam. So I think that does it, unless you want to talk about these two characters at the end of this show. Somebody biting the tail?
Oh, well, I'll take it for you.
Does anybody have any questions that they'd like to ask Phoebe or myself about with games? Go ahead.
We'll talk.
Oh, goody.
Lot dealers are very tough to find. You want to talk to your estate agents and say to them, listen, if I don't buy this, or if you don't buy the entire contents, who buys this? And they'll tell you, usually, oh, I have this guy, he's an antique dealer. That lot buyer that I have has five warehouses. I've only been through three of them. And each warehouse is about, I'd say about 30,000 square feet. And sometimes you run across pinball machines, sometimes you don't, sometimes you run across arcades, scales, they're all over the place. The key thing that I use a lot of times is a business card. Old school. Remember, these guys are operators, everybody are old school. You know, people say, oh, email. Do email, Craigslist, all this. Antique dealers, they don't have time to look at this, especially the older ones who have a lot of stuff. Business cards, be friendly. Call up on them. In fact, when I went to find that fun house, there were two guys that just had gotten into the collecting business, and they spent 3.5 hours in the guy's one warehouse and annoyed him so much he wasn't going to take them to any other warehouse. And they were like, oh, there's got to be more stuff here. I did not annoy the man. I just said, this is what you got? Okay, here you go. Bing, good, bye. Then after I finished that deal, he was calling me about a week later. Oh, I have some back glasses. I have a back glass for a classic Williams games from the 30s and 40s. Are you interested? I said, yeah, I'm going to Chicago. Let me get a hold of you in a couple weeks when I get back. So lot dealers, antique dealers, or even estate sale agents, give them a business card because they don't know what they have sometimes. So you can walk in or get an email 3 days before the estate sale is up. And here's a beautiful case. I was called in on a case. It was a Cyclone. I did not know the game was there. They just said we had a pinball machine. Come on over and take a look at it. When I showed up, they had already priced it. Of course, they use eBay. You know, thanks a lot. But the game was dead. It wasn't working. And the estate sale agent knew me. He says, oh, you're here for the pinball machine. I go, yeah, what do you got? He says, well, I got this Cyclone. It's in good shape. We want $1,300, $1,400 for it. I said, that's not going to happen. I says, and it's not working. She goes, no, it's not working. I said, what's your lowest bid? Because I've dealt with her before. She says, my lowest bid is $900 working. I immediately said to her, I says, I'll give you $800 as is. Let me get right back to you. She goes in the house, makes a quick phone call. She comes out and says, sold. I said, thank you. Nice thing about that play field, that game, when I got it home, I opened it up. I didn't put this in the presentation. I should have. The bottom of the play field has all the original markings from the designers, markered out in pen, showing where the trace lines are going to go and everything. So it was one of the early runs or even a prototype Cyclone. And the only reason it was not working was it came up flashing adjustment error. So, you know, you wanted to use eBay, didn't consult me, that's fine. $800 for an adjustment failure game.
Always remember to change your batteries.
Yeah, exactly. So, did Python make it? No, I don't think so. All right. But anyway, if Python does come, there will be some surprises available at the Pin Game Journal booth.
I think Jim was going to.
Jim probably is going to be able to put them up for us. Python has some original NOS playfields that were in his possession, and he will be bringing them and putting them up at the Pin Game Journal for sale. So you might want to take a wander over there and see some original first-run NOS that Python is trying to raise money for a surprise. Can we say that?
Surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
Surprise project.
Surprise project. So he's going to sell some playfields. Everybody's going. Everybody, all of a sudden, all these designers are getting into these surprise projects. So we'll wait and see what Python's got cooking.
But you'll have to get in line behind me.
Oh, behind you? I'm sure you'd like that one. Any other questions? Yeah. I approach just about every shipping company. Nice, friendly conversation. Show them a business card. Cut them a deal. Sell them a pinball machine at cheap prices, because, you know, the next thing you know, he's calling you saying, hey, I got this broken machine. You want it? By the way, my machine's broken. Can you come out and fix it? So I'm out there fixing his machine. He's paying me $300, and I'm giving him $300 back for a game that it just broke, and it was a Defender. So, you know, you roll those deals. Be open. Be ready to talk to these people. Business cards, they work nicely. And don't be surprised that these guys will be a little upset sometimes, or, you know, just give them their space, let them vent, and the next thing you know, you got a deal.
When you asked that question, I thought you meant talking about, you know, how to get a game shipped. And I was going to say, no, don't do that. If it's not close enough for me to go pick it up, I can't do it, because I can't wait that long.
Any other questions? Any other possibilities? Anybody have any good ways of finding games that we have maybe missed? Something like they all of a sudden found. Go ahead.
Auctioneers,
yes. Auctioneers are good. However, you get in that auctioneer bidding war, and you got to remember to, it's just a game. Another one will roll in later. Good story about an auctioneer. I'll tell you a quick story. I had a gentleman who was bought a game at an auction. I knew it was going to be at the auction, but I know it's going to be a high price. He ended up buying it at the auction, and 3 or 4 months later, it broke. He didn't want it anymore. He sold it to me. I fixed it and moved it out. So there's little deals that walk through the doors very quietly, and you never know what's going to happen. Also, I'm going to tell you one other thing. There's one man here who's probably got the best deals in town, and you don't know it. And I'm just going to give a little plug, and his name is Rob Burke, because Rob runs the Pinball Expo. And when you run a pinball show, machines walk through your door, and they sometimes stay there and come home with you. Okay, and the deals walk through the door. You know, somebody will come up to you and go, hey, I got this machine. Are you interested? Yeah, sure. I picked up a Niagara Falls Pinball Show. I had a Stellar Wars walk through the door. Phoebe remembers this. The guy owed me a few bucks. He says, here, take the Stellar Wars. Okay. Then before I even finished the deal, Phoebe goes, are you buying that? I go, yeah. And what did you
brat.
Have? Yeah. I was a brat. I said, why? What do you got? She goes, I got a play field. Oh, you do? Yeah, you want it?
Already touched up and cleared.
Already retouched up and cleared. Okay. How much? Oh, I'll give it to you for a deal. I said, okay. I brought it. I said, can you bring it to the expo? Sure. Next thing you know, I had Steve Ritchie sign the play field. Then I had it re-cleared. Now I'm going to put it in the machine. So here we go. I'm going to have a signed Stellar Wars play field for, let's see, I think he owed me $50, $75 from the show. Make deals. So keep the outlines of communication open. Craigslist. Have a show.
Another one you can write to your state government and find out which branch issues the operator licenses. And you'll give it less free. And about half of them will be old guys and don't do it anymore.
Yep.
So you talking about getting the Stellar Wars. I had actually done some work for a guy. I guess you call him an operator. I know he sells games. But I had done some work for him, and he owed me. I'd done a playfield for him, and he owed me some money. And he says, well, I got some old Williams games. What are you looking for? He says, I got a taxi. And I was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I want a taxi. So I got my, it's an early production run taxi for doing a play field. It's a Maryland. From what I talked to Python about it, and from what Python says, it had proto sound ROMs on it, and some of the other things on the playfield, he said, were early, like a test game. He said he thinks it's one of the first 12 games that went out on test for Williams back in 1988. But, you know, that's another one of those where, you know.
Make friends with operators. They're old war horses. They've been in the trenches. They know what they have. I have a buddy of mine who is a famous operator in Buffalo. He still operates, I think, about 50 to 100 games out on route. And he has, I mean, I run across him all the time. But I stock parts because I do a lot of repairs. So guess who my best friend is? Is an operator, because he calls me up and says, hey, Dave, I'm looking for a 50-101 CMOS RAM chip. Do you got one? Yeah, sure. Come on over. He comes over, you know. And, or Dave, I'm looking for this black glass. Okay, case in point, I got him a nice deal on a back glass for a, I'm trying to think what it's called right now, Lucky Sevens. He was working on it. He shopped out the whole game, the back glass blew. I was on a pinball heist, and there was a Lucky Sevens back glass. I picked it up, I brought it back to him, gave it to him. You know, he's like, I got this game. What do you want? I'm like, I can't take any more games. My wife will kill me. He says, all right,
no,
I'll just put them off
no.
to the side.
No,
and
there's always room for one more.
I know, that's my catch line. There's always room for one more. Of course, my wife's saying there's always room for one more nail in the coffin. And she's already asked me which pinball cabinet I'm going to be buried in, because she's going to bury me in that cabinet, too. But operators are good guys. You know, don't be mean to them, or don't try to gouge them.
Yeah.
Be professional with them. They're
That's
professional.
Why he wears the hat,
they'll
right?
do. So, any other questions?
Yeah, Indiana Jones.
What, you want to know the Indiana Jones story? Is that
no,
it?
She said Indiana Jones, and I said, "Oh, that's why he wears the hat."
Yeah. Actually, the hat, I started wearing it because I found it. And I'll give you a quick tagline. I was doing a pinball repair, and there was an 8-year-old kid. And his father says, oh, look at the cowboy. And he says, oh, it's Wyatt Earp. And the kid said, no, Dad, that's Doc Pinball. And that name has stuck with me for the last 10 years.
You can go back to that first picture.
Oh, you want to talk about that.
And we can talk about the Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Last year after the banquet, they do the thing where
you
dress up like your
this.
Favorite pinball machine. And, of course, I was Bad Cats. Duh. And David was David.
Yes, just David. I'm just my normal self.
This is David. And these young girls come walking up to us after when we were walking out of the banquet.
They were from the wedding party. They're like 17, 18, 19. They're walking through the hallway.
They wanted their picture taken with...
With you.
With me. And they were like, oh, what are you dressed up for? Blah, blah, blah. And we were explaining it, and they looked at him, and they were like, and who are you supposed to be?
And I said, I'm just me. Oh, we thought you were a lion tamer or Indiana Jones. Or
miniature
something.
Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. You've been waiting to push that punchline. All right. Any more questions? No? Thank you for coming. And we're going to give it back to Brock.